Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget your machete as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
Get Art Bell. So, this is Monsteropolis, a show about monsters, anomalies, and legends. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove, joined as always by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Greetings. How are you, Seth?
I'm charging batteries as we're recording.
Getting charged up.
Yeah, we have. Well, I was telling you about the mysterious battery disappearance case. Of 2019, we had. I probably have, at one time, I had at least 50 batteries for this camera, the A7S II. Mm-hmm. And these are not cheap batteries. But they mysteriously disappeared. Most of them mysteriously disappeared while we were filming, and police are coming to get me. Right.
Well, maybe they found them.
Yeah.
They're returning them.
Here they come. But yeah, we're getting ready. So this weekend, the reason I'm charging batteries, no, by the time we release this episode, it will be last weekend.
Yes.
Last weekend.
You're charging batteries for the event that happened once this airs.
Yes. Yeah. We were at Western Conference, Western Pennsylvania Conference on the Unexplained. Hope we had a good time. I can't promote the thing because it's gone.
It's gone.
But you can go
to the Chestnut Ridge anytime.
Anytime. I've been wanting to go back to Ohio Pile because when I was there back in June with Mike and Cliff, we went out to dinner at this restaurant in Ohio Pile, and it wasn't the one we usually go to. It was this other one. And sometime we need to do like a dude weekend, like you and Andy, me and Tommy, and go out there.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Restaurant's so good.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's really amazing.
Is that different from the one that you had to wait?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is different.
Okay.
Yeah. The one I had to wait.
This was on the trail of Bigfoot. There's like a 45-minute wait. This was with the Ohio Night Stalkers. Wasn't there some place you went and there was like this forever, time?
Yeah, that's a different. That was down in Adams County. Oh, okay. That's a 2-hour wait. A 45-minute wait would have been great. No, we waited 2 hours. They told us 90 minutes and 2 hours later we got seated and it was worth it.
I rarely would say that.
Wow. I would actually strongly recommend going to, it's called the River. And it's down on, it's down in Portsmouth.
Okay.
So it is really great. Oh my gosh. No, but this place was great too. And weirdly enough, I was there with the Ohio Night Stalkers.
Okay.
So it was me and the Night Stalkers, Sean Forker and Cliff.
Oh, cool.
Cliff Barrick and went to dinner. And then we closed down a bar, eating chocolate cake. We were trying to find anything in town open that had cake, and we found a bar that was, it was like the last thing that was open in town, and we went in just on the off chance they had some sort of dessert, and I was like, do you guys have cake? And she said no, and then we started to leave and she goes, wait, there's banana chocolate cake. And I was like, I'll eat it. And so they gave us cake, and while we were sitting outside eating it, they started closing down. So we were there, we closed the place down eating chocolate cake.
Wow.
It was a nice experience. We had a fun time.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. It was a good time. So anyway, whatever time you're listening to this, we are talking, March 21st. March 21st, the Canton Palace Theater, Mysteries and Monsters, a Small Town Monsters event, which is the, it's a 1-day conference taking place at the Canton Palace Theater in Canton, Ohio. We want you to be there. There will be guest speakers and screenings of a couple Small Town Monsters movies. I really want to show the Flatwoods Monster because we've never screened it at the Canton Palace. So I'd like to show the Flatwoods Monster. We do plan on a special 5-year anniversary showing of Minerva Monster, and we are going to do the world premiere of On the Trail of UFOs. And somewhere in between all of that, there will be speakers and Q&As, and there's going to be food and vendors and all sorts of fun stuff. And we don't have ticket pricing information figured out yet.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a while.
No.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing. Mark's probably going to be the MC for the day, by the way. I haven't asked him. This is me asking you live on air.
This is how we do things.
Yeah. So anyway, today we're going to talk about The Day After Disclosure, which I believe is a book.
It's a book by Dolan and Zabel.
Okay, so that explains why I did not have time to read the book. So I YouTube searched The Day After Disclosure, and all I found was interviews with Richard Dolan.
Uh-huh.
So I think you have a whole, just judging by the scroll that you've just laid out on, yeah. on the table. I think you have a lot of points you want to hit on this, which is great because yes. I feel ill-equipped to even get into this subject.
Well, I think what I've got is sort of an outline. So you'll be able to just chime in with your opinion,
great.
Basically.
Or just sit and listen to you talk.
Drone on and on about the minutia of disclosure, what would happen. Yeah, this book is pretty interesting and very well done. The thing that really impresses me most about it is how thoroughly it was thought through. I mean, I think about The Day After Disclosure, and it's just sort of like,
Can you explain for listeners real quick, though, what that means, by the way?
Disclosure. I mean, specifically in this context, disclosure refers to the government of certainly the United States and other nations around the world who may have secret knowledge of the existence of, let's say, an alien or extraterrestrial race that we have been having some sort of relationship with up to this point, mm-hmm. but that's been kept secret. Disclosure, it is the public admission that this is real, mm-hmm. that this is happening, it has been happening. And so it's typically referred to in terms of a grand rollout of that information. And, so there's been a lot of speculation about what that would look like. And
okay, cool.
Yeah. I got way off track.
The people that just stopped in are both in black.
Oh.
Entirely in black.
It was all captured.
Decked out in black.
On audio.
And they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Disclosure.
So disclosure, the public admission by governments of the world, let's mm-hmm. say, that aliens are real and that we've had dealings with them in the past. And this is just saying, yep, it's all true. So the point of Dolan and Zabel's book is to say, let's assume that that's going to happen at some point in the future. What would the world look like? What would the reaction really be?
Mm-hmm.
So they go through very thoroughly and sort of try to judge the immediate response, some unintended consequences perhaps, and then sort of the long-term effect that would have on things like science, politics, and of course religious beliefs, which is something that typically comes up in the conversation as well, is often floated as a reason why there hasn't been disclosure to this point, that it would somehow decimate the religions of the world, which Dolan and Zabel come to a very interesting conclusion about that based on some questionnaires and polls that have been taken by a wide swath of religious people. But we'll kind of do that towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Why? My phone's blowing up.
I see that.
Okay, so let's talk about how did those people, here's a question for you that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Do you remember the day we were sitting in here and that woman just came walking in?
Yes.
This, I sit in an enclosed section of a building with a locked door.
Right.
Why do people, no lights are on.
There's three, we leave the doors hall light. They have to get through.
Yeah, to get to
me. To make contact with you.
And the no lights reception. Are off. There's nothing. There's no lights on. Why are they knocking on that door?
I don't know.
What? Okay, it freaks me. It creeps me
sure.
out.
Sure.
I don't understand.
Well, especially the lady who said, you need to help me.
Oh yeah, that was that one. I was convinced that lady was like casing my office.
This is a, you know, small town monsters headquarters is a magnet for
weirdos. Okay, so I was literally like I was caught between two things at
yes.
once when you were talking just now. Mm-hmm. But so I watched. Did you ask me a question?
No.
Okay, good.
But
okay. So, I was watching interviews with Dolan last night and a couple things stood out to me. One, he seems, incredibly arrogant. and two is, he seems to hate the United States. He's not a big fan of the U.S. This is just my not at all, talking about the subject that we're supposed to be, but these are like I don't know anything about Dolan. And those were the two things that stood out to me. He seems to think it would be terrible if disclosure comes from the United States. In fact, the interview I was watching, he said that he would, love it if disclosure came from China or or Russia. Those are the two places that he would like to see disclosure happen. And a lot of that is because he believes that the U.S. is a, like an evil and a force for evil is basically what he said. So, and then a lot of this is based on, so let me figure out where I want to go here because I'm not as schooled in this as you are, but I have some thoughts and opinions on disclosure.
Okay.
Mostly related to the fact that to me, the government cover-up of actual alien existence, I still don't buy into. So I don't know where you stand on, like, I just still can't wrap my brain around why, if there were aliens visiting Earth and the government knew about it and they were in contact with them, how does that remain a secret? First of all, how does that remain a secret in a government where they can't keep WikiLeaks under wraps, right? Like WikiLeaks, they have Snowden and all this, like all these guys hacking into the government and unleashing like private files. When there's something recently, like 500 or 200 CIA agent names got put out. It was like the plot of a Mission Impossible movie, but yeah. It actually happened. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me like for years, for like a century, we've been visited by aliens. There are people in the know about this and somehow it would have to be hundreds of people, if not thousands, that know about it. And somehow they keep that under wraps. So I want to believe I want that to be a thing. Cause it's such a cool, like spy thriller idea. I just can't buy it. Am I alone in this? You're not talking.
Oh no, I just, in Dolan's book, I think in this disclosure book.
Yeah.
He alleges that there is, and you'll love this,
oh, good.
That there is an elite core
yes.
of people who know the truth, that there is, you know, alien visitation and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and that the United States government, very few people know.
Okay.
So that it's not as if the government's hiding it. It's the elites hiding it.
So it's just the elite.
From the government.
Yeah.
And so
does Q have anything to do with disclosure? QAnon.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about that to be honest.
Like it would feed
I hear about
that
it every
bit.
So often, yeah. but I've never turned right. my attention to that.
Listeners, if you're a big Q, proponent, please write
yeah,
in.
Yeah, educate us, please.
Yeah, I'm interested and I'm not making fun. I'm being legitimately like I'm interested in. I just,
but attach to your point, then I think the impression that I have of our government and their stance on, you know, an alien presence is that all of the public and even the things that have come out later on in Freedom of Information Act and so forth seems to indicate that they genuinely don't know.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they acknowledge there's a mystery. They acknowledge there's things that are, that go unexplained, but it seems like there's far more information pointing in the direction of ignorance than there is cover up, if that makes sense.
So when we're talking about disclosure, in your opinion, does that mean the government comes out and says there's alien life forms here? We know what they are. We've been talking to them. Because there's two paths I see. Mm-hmm. There's that, which to me, that ends in chaos. And then there's a soft disclosure, which some might argue is already taking place, mm-hmm. wherein the government says, or the Navy says, or the Air Force right. says, there's things in our skies. We don't know what they are. We're admitting that we don't know what they are and that they've been here for a while. Mm-hmm. There, and that's probably not going to end in chaos. That's going to be a trickle out of information right. and quote unquote leaks that sure. over time sort of inform us as to what's actually happening, except that we don't know what's actually, yeah. I don't see that ending in any more answers than the other.
Right.
The reason, like,
so I think we're there
yeah.
right now.
That's what I'm. Yeah. The hard disclosure thing to me makes no sense. If the government comes out and says, we've been lying to you for a century and there's aliens here, people will riot. Like mm-hmm. people are rioting in the streets over nonsense. People are going to riot over. Don't think people either, unless I'm completely wrong and people are so, so desensitized to being lied to that they just go, well, that's no surprise. But to me, it ends in chaos. But like if they go that route, do you agree
with that? Okay. Yeah, 100%. And there was a sobering statistic that was offered in terms of a riot or looting,
a breaking down.
Yeah. And the statistic was this, if only 10% of people in the world have a negative violent reaction to that, mm-hmm. that's 700 million people having a violent reaction yeah. to this news, which would be catastrophic. Yeah. I mean, it would be this type of stuff that we saw in the wake of hurricanes and natural disasters in our own country on a massive scale. Mm-hmm. So it would be turmoil. And that's, you know, the way that it's broken down in the book is it says, let's assume that the hard disclosure does happen. It's suggested that there's kind of five reactions to that.
Okay.
Okay. One is, okay, there's intelligent non-humans. This is at the very beginning. Like this would be like the sure. first couple days after this announcement.
Sure.
Who are these intelligent non-humans? Mm-hmm. How long have we known about it? How many are there? Is it more than one mm-hmm. group? The second thing is, what's their agenda? You know, they're here. What have they been doing? And what's the end game? Do they have bad intent? Do they have good intent? Are we a farm mm-hmm. for them or what? And then immediately start thinking about safety, mm-hmm. Personal safety, the safety of a nation. What about our nuclear arsenal? Do they have some control over that? Would that do any good against them? Are we going to fight them? Fourth is kind of what you were hinting at before. The nature of secrecy, you know, why was this a policy? Mm. You know, how is it decided that the right thing to do would be to a non-disclosure? What did governments hope to gain by not telling their populace what was happening?
Yeah.
And of course, then there's all sorts of trust issues that go along with that. And then, you know, fifth, finally, when the disclosure happens, then that immediately leads to questions like, is that all the truth? Since we've been lied to for...
Yeah, you question everything.
Yeah, though. Right.
Yeah.
You know, has everything now that have was we classified
on,
been...
on the moon? No, I mean, for real, because like yeah. people are going to question, they're going to question the Holocaust. For real, like this mm-hmm. is the kind of stuff they're going to question if we are in fact on a flat earth. Like the mm-hmm. world, to me, this is why... The disclosure thing is so big, way bigger, I think, than most people realize.
Right.
And that's leaving out the impact it would have on religion mm-hmm. and world law, like not world law, governmental law and like the rule of law in general and things like that. Mm-hmm. People are going to ask these questions, but like, it's interesting to hear you say that 10% thing. 'Cause in my opinion, it's not going to be the majority of Americans that are, I think the biggest chunk of Americans are going to go back to watching, American Idol or The Voice or mm-hmm. whatever, you yeah. know?
Right.
And, but that's interesting to think of 10, I mean, just in America, what's 10% of the population? If that 10% starts looting or gets violent, mm-hmm. you know, reacts violently yeah. to that, just in America, sure. what does that turn
it's millions
into?
Of people, yeah, right?
It's I millions mean, of people.
So that's right. I mean, that's exactly right. The first debate to be had is, would that news be met with a shrug mm-hmm. and go back to, you know, Netflix or whatever, mm-hmm. or would there be mayhem? And I guess where the book goes with that is, even if a small percentage of people decide mayhem, mm-hmm. then you've got a huge problem on your hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, but having said that, I think that there is a way that soft disclosure, at least the admission that there's things in the sky that we can't tell for sure what they are, mm-hmm. that's already been happening. Mm-hmm. So we are desensitized as people to a certain degree already. Mm-hmm. And the question is, if they just said, okay, it has, you know, Zeta Reticulans are real. We've been having some sort of agreement with them since the 1940s or 50s.
I think there might be some wild
reaction, but there could also just be sort of a shrug like, well, you guys have sort of been setting us up for this.
I think
for years
too. It's also how they disclose would be some of the reaction is predicated on how. So if they, mm-hmm. if they come out and they say it's a hard disclosure, but it's not a hard disclosure of say alien life. If they come out and they say, does someone stands on the White House lawn and they say, look, we have, technology from other worlds or from other places we don't understand. You know, like there are flying saucers in Area 51. We don't know where they came from. They're here. You know, like that's another thing entirely from coming out and saying there are alien life forms visiting Earth. Mm-hmm. Like the wording of the disclosure itself is kind of a big mm-hmm. part of this.
Sure.
Did we do an episode like this about Bigfoot at one point, or did
yeah,
we just talk
kind
about
of
it?
Okay, like the okay. day after Bigfoot?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The day after Bigfoot.
So there was another interesting point right at the beginning that was brought up too. And I guess Donald Kehoe is responsible for just kind of introducing this idea in his writing. But when he talks about the desensitization of people to a lot like a wide scale threat, what we have to keep in mind is that we've been living with the specter of the atomic age now since the end of World War II. Mm-hmm. Is the reality that somebody could push a button somewhere.
And we all go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so living with that has contributed to sort of an ability for us to really fragment our minds or separate that thought out mm-hmm. from going and watching American Idol. Or in a sense that the reason that we do that and we plug into an entertainment world, for example, so thoroughly is so that we don't think about the fact that somebody could push the button and, you know, mm-hmm. a city evaporates that you can, it's hard to live with that as a constant thought. And so the point is that in the same way, that there could potentially be a quick adjustment period. If the aliens are real and if they don't mean us harm, mm-hmm. then that could go relatively smoothly because we just want to go surf the web.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah. so if they don't mean us harm, then shrug of the shoulders. We all saw Independence Day, you know, and we'll just move on with our lives.
And how long, like the other thing is if the government comes out and tells us, they've been here for centuries or millennia, like what happens in that situation as well? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so many different rabbit trails you can go down. One thing
yeah.
Dolan talked about that I thought was interesting is the fracturing fracturing that would happen of different camps. So you're going to have people that are claiming they're demons, and you're going to have people claiming there are space brothers, like the new age crowd. It's going to, oh, this is our space. You know, our space brothers finally come to rescue us. Mm-hmm. And those two camps are going to become violently opposed to one another, which I think is interesting. Like the idea that And there's a Mad Max movie to be made about a world where all someone does is say, hey, aliens are up there and we have their technology, and then the world implodes. Like, there's a movie to be made about that. Like, it kind of has District 9. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of about that on a citywide scale anyway.
Yeah.
But that idea was interesting to me. I guess I hadn't necessarily thought about how different camps would react to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, I still have a very hard time buying into aliens visiting us and we are aware, and the government's been in contact. That's where, for me, the UFO issue sort of breaks down, is when you get into the idea that not only are they visiting us, and because I think UFOs are real. I think there's something up there. I don't know what they are. I don't think anyone knows what they are. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I balk at UFOs are real. They've been visiting us for centuries. The government is secretly in league with them, or knows they're here, or has had meetings with them, or has bodies on a slab somewhere. I think
is trying desperately to keep that quiet.
Yeah. I think that's where I draw the line. I just can't. And then when you get into like the idea that there's like a secret space force that exists, where we have fought battles in space with aliens, which is also something that people believe. That's where like the whole thing breaks down. There is no way there's a space force that exists that has fought battles with aliens. Because again, the secret's going to get out. You know, like, and I'm not talking about like one guy calling Art Bell to tell him his story. I'm saying like hundreds of people by now would have told their story if that was the case. Mm. I just can't buy it. Yeah. I don't buy it. I love the idea. Yeah, again, like, I'm totally, totally on board with the idea of it. Yep. It's a great story. I just can't get into it. Yeah. I don't buy it.
So a couple other areas that we haven't touched on directly that I think are interesting to think about is, but what the panic would be like, of course, you'd have shortages of everything, hoarding, weapon sales would go through the roof if they had access to that. And there would be a great deal of fury, I think, directed at the government, because you've lied to us on this scale for that long. There would have to be some way to publicly vent that anger, or else it would be just the potential for revolution would be fairly strong. The other thing that was brought up was the economic impact.
That's the one I wanted to talk about, actually.
Sure.
Because it comes down to the fact that if they're here and they're real, then we have their technology, which means we have technology that would subvert or overcome the current technology, especially things like petroleum based car, gasoline's out the window. Coal should be out the window. Like, all these things should be gone, because if you're talking about UFOs as we know them being real, that's technology that goes far beyond anything we have, and should make the world a better place, given that, you know, like it subverts the need to do all the things that supposedly are destroying the earth. So that alone would cause rioting.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that one thing should cause riots in the street. Mm-hmm. Like, if you find out that for the last 50 years you've been working a horrible job, for the last 40 years you've been working a horrible job to put food on your family's table and put gasoline in a car that could have pay your electric, your utility bills for things that could have been free. You know what I mean? Like, all these little things are going to impact a blue collar people, especially in a major way.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I think this whole thought exercise is a lot of fun, because you start to realize it, how many things this touches.
Yeah, I don't think this does. I've changed my mind. I don't think this does end in people just going back to watching Netflix. Why are you watching TV? You should be able to, you know, like, it should be, someone should be beaming the thoughts into your head from their galactic right. ship or what, like, right. like for real, like jobs almost become irrelevant in a world where we could be flying around at light speed and visiting other galaxies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? Like, yeah. like that's how people are going to react to that. I think, mm-hmm. I don't think people are going to go back to watching. I've completely 180'd in the, wow. Over the course of the last 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
But if you really unpack what we're talking about, I don't see normal people who've slaved at dead end jobs for the better part of their life being cool with just going back to that dead end job mm-hmm. the day after disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
anybody,
here's another thing to throw into the mix yeah. economically. In the book, they make the comparison to 9/11 as a something that would approach the same, you know, impact. And of mm-hmm. course, this would be even bigger than that. But yeah. the point being that, if you recall, the stock market was shut down
yeah.
for the rest of the week.
Right.
Then it reopened the week following. And even if that pattern held, which is debatable, of course, then the next question could conceivably be, if this alien race, let's say, has the ability to manipulate time,
mm-hmm.
what does that do to your market?
Yeah.
Because your market is based on instability and uncertainty. And now if you have a group of beings that knows what's going to happen,
sure.
or can go to next Wednesday and tell you up or down.
Why did 9/11 happen at all in that case? Why did we allow the Holocaust? Right.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going back to the Holocaust, yeah. but like that's the most recent mm-hmm. tragedy on that scale, mm-hmm. genocide. There, the yeah.
So the market, as we know it, is
that's
rendered.
Predicated on time travel, which I think, frankly, if we're talking about space traveling through space at light speed, you almost have to time travel almost has to be a part of that, right? I don't know science,
presumably
physics. Yeah. I don't understand anyway. Get out of here.
So if there were some sort of...
I hadn't even thought about that yeah, aspect of
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if there is some sort of economic system that survives, and there almost certainly would be, just because that's what humans do, that's mm-hmm. all we know, the hypothesis of the authors is that military would be the big winner.
Mm.
Because the...
Definitely. Yeah, there's no doubt.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the big... loser would be, as you already identified, big oil,
uh-huh.
Some of these old methods of transportation, even electricity to a certain degree would be in question if they had another source for generating.
Well, a military might become the big winner because the America, especially, might slip into chaos, mm-hmm. putting us in a police state.
Exactly.
Which would lead to, yeah, the military needing to take over to keep the...
Right.
the
people, not right. Not necessarily calm. Arm ourselves against the aliens.
Yeah.
Against, to keep ourselves
yeah.
under
yeah.
some semblance of control.
Yeah. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if you're enjoying this as much as we are talking about it, you need to send your own thoughts in on this
yeah.
subject.
So you mentioned before law.
Mm-hmm.
There are legal issues that attach to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds silly to say at first, but if it was real... You know, and you could demonstrate that you were abducted in 1996.
Mm.
What legal rights do you yeah. have? Is an alien suable?
Hmm.
Do they even fall under any sort of earthly jurisdiction? Would they agree to some sort of universal law? Or how would that work?
Is the government suable? Because if the government's been refuting the existence of
yeah.
aliens, but aliens are in fact taking people, messing with them physically, in some cases sexually, which is going to open up, I mean, then technically the government is involved. And what do they call it? I can't even.
Okay. Oh,
when you're allowing something to happen mm-hmm. by not stopping it. I can't think of what that's called.
Yeah.
I'm blanking, but you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. to me, I hadn't even thought of that aspect of this mm-hmm. either. To me, that opens the government up to lawsuits.
Yeah. Absolutely. If they were acting in conjunction in any way.
Mm-hmm. If you can prove you were abducted, yeah. I guess negligence? That's what it would come down
to. Is that
to.
Gross negligence? Is that the
I'm not sure.
term that you were thinking
I
of?
I don't think it is, but yeah.
Because there's a whole list of things like, can an alien be arrested?
Mm-hmm.
What about aviation laws?
Yeah.
Contracts? Can yeah. you hire an alien to do See, something for you.
Some of this
stuff
is goofy to me.
Like, it seems like it, but if it's all presuming that they're real and that they would want to interact with us.
Yeah.
And if they, but if they did then,
yeah,
ultimately some of these questions would have to be dealt with on some level. And that's where it is. It's weird. It's weird to let your mind go to those places. But
yeah, it's interesting because when you really start to unpack it, it totally changes what I thought was my view. I've always felt like the 10% thing resonated with me because I'm thinking 10%, that's, you know, that's the amount of people who are probably going to go back to watching or not watching TV and everyone else. But the more you think about it, people should and would be irate if this is real.
Correct.
Like in my head, the reaction to this from people I know, I'm even more weirded out by those people showing up here now. It's a weird thing to really start to think about on this in a realistic light.
Correct.
I guess like to really like look at how society would react to
aliens
and that, being real.
That goes hand in hand with then how would we as people react to the media? Mm-hmm. Which seemed to comply with the government stance. And again, it gets back to basic, the trust relationship that is shaky even right now at best.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This would decimate that because for years and years, the UFO topic has been dealt with in a dismissive way, condescending, you know, little green men, And now...
That's another thing is like, what does it change if they're interdimensional? Like what happens if we discover there are different dimensions. Mm-hmm. What if these are some sort of interdimensional traveler, which means that they could pop up in your house at any moment, like on a riot scale, I would assume that's.
Yeah,
where you know, people are going to freak out if that's the case.
It's terrifying.
And again, like if they're time travelers, you get into the quandary that puts the government in as far as like, well, if they're time travelers, we should have been able to stop any number of these issues,
atrocities,
tragedies, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it did, and where that connects, a connecting point to that too is just what does it do to the field of science? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we talked about technology and then certainly time travel and any other abilities that they would have. What would that mean to science as we know it?
Yeah.
And, you know, touching things like genetics, disease, what else? Oh, consciousness and memory, dark matter. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. This is not a happy subject.
It's not.
This isn't going to end well for anybody.
It doesn't seem like
it's going to be nukes flying.
Now the religious aspect I think is fascinating. Yeah. And, what is really interesting is that there's a huge quotation from a survey that was taken in 2010, that was administered by Professor Ted Peters at a theological seminary in Berkeley, California, called the Peters ETI Religious Crisis Survey. Mm. And it was administered to 1,300 respondents who were Roman Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Mormon, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and atheist and agnostic. And so the central question on the survey was, upon confirmation of contact between Earth and extraterrestrial intelligence. Long-established religious traditions of Earth would confront a crisis of belief and perhaps collapse. And they were asked then to comment on whether or not they thought that was true. And the survey results were pretty fascinating. Religious persons, for the most part, did not fear contact.
That's the way... I think you and I have talked about this before, because we're both Christian. But like... This is how I've always felt about it. I don't see it. Now I can see where people could use it as a tool against Christianity. Totally. Like religion, whatever you want to call it. Like I totally see how that would become a thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as like from my vantage point, I've never seen it as an issue, but that's also predicated on the idea that it's an alien. You know, like if you talk about, so here's something I saw, an interesting quote, and we're going to get into an area here that we usually don't talk about on the show, but like I saw an interesting quote the other day and it was on Twitter, and it might've been Joshua Cutchin. I can't remember who was talking about it, but they were, I don't think it was Josh. So I don't know who it was. Okay. It was one of those guys who's like really into the interdimensional thing. And they said, it's something to the effect of, it's almost insulting to move. It was Josh. He said something to the effect of, it's almost like moving the goalpost to call it an interdimensional being. When the Bible, this, like it goes through, you know, like a bunch of different religious texts, call them demons, call them this, like, what is the, you're just moving the goalpost. You're going to say, okay, it's interdimensional. We've been saying it's a demon, or it's this or that, you know, like, or an angel or whatever, you know what I mean? And I thought it was a really interesting, the idea is you're arguing semantics at the end of the day. Like you're arguing the semantics of what it is. If it's interdimensional, it's a weird gray. Sure. It's not a gray area, but it's a weird area. If you're saying it's interdimensional to me as a person who, you know, like as a Christian, I'm going to say it probably is demonic, or it's angelic, or it's like one of these things. That's the way I need to consider it.
And the way that I, you know, hearing that, it what's so, like you said, there are some people who will try to use that against Christianity or a Bible-based view of reality, when in fact an interdimensional hypothesis is nothing else than what Scripture has always said.
It's backing it up.
Yeah.
I've always felt that way about the interdimensional thing, because it's just like, it's finding a scientific way of talking about things that have been talked about in religion, in quote unquote religious context. I hate the word religion, by the way. I really do.
Sure.
But like it's just finding a religious way of putting, you know, or a scientific way of things that have been talked about spiritually and religiously for centuries.
Right. Right. So it was really, I thought it was telling that the vast, vast majority of people with a theological worldview, let's say, said it's not a problem.
Yeah.
If we believe in a omnipotent God, then he could certainly create whatever he wants to, wherever he wants to. Yeah. It's a non-issue. The people who it was an issue for were, in the respondents to the survey, were atheists.
Atheists, yeah. Which is what you would expect.
And that's just the data. I mean, I'm not saying that as in an editorial way at all. Of this. So as you look at various in religions across the board, you know, there's different angles that they take to the issue, of course, and the sort of the all, you know, aliens are mostly demonic. Seems to be a Protestant issue. Roman Catholicism takes a much different path to this, to talking about it, to the degree that
your scroll fell.
Yeah, my scroll is wound up. But, you know, they've established huge conservatories and observation areas, and have even, there's been published public theological papers about, should we baptize an alien if we meet one?
Yeah.
I mean, so they're taking a different angle at it. Yeah. And then other philosophies and, you know, Eastern religious thought isn't that concerned, to be honest. I mean,
Mormonism is based around, in a way, it's based around
an
alien life form.
Cosmology that goes along with that for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And that certainly, you know, as a Christian pastor, it's easy for me to agree with the results of that survey and I go along with the majority of the respondents who said,
this is one of my favorite episodes we've ever done.
Yeah.
Sincerely. Because like it opens, we could talk about, I feel like we could sit here just blabbing for like 2 hours.
Easily.
It really
Yeah.
opens up a lot of, I mean, for, I, it genuinely changed my mind about how I think people would react, though. I really do. Like, I feel like I've always thought more about the religious side of it,
sure,
without considering the societal issues it's going to bring up are massive.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We need to end the show, though. We're way over our time. Right. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I think that...
Come to us, Space Brothers.
Well, I said before that it's a fun thought exercise, mm-hmm, in a sense, to really push through the dimensions of what disclosure, as it's defined in this book, what that would bring into the world.
Yeah.
And it would be a hardcore challenge for human nature,
mm-hmm,
to try to absorb that news.
Yeah.
I don't think it's hopeless, but I do think that it would, the world as we know it would come to an end. Not apocalyptically.
No.
Like blow up and disappear, but right, the world that we used to know.
Yeah.
Would be done, and we would be constructing a new reality, mm-hmm, from that point on.
And that's just a realistic way of looking at that.
Yeah.
Like if it's like we said, technologically, that would be the case. If you're solely talking technologically, that would have to be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the one major point, this may have been in their conclusion, was that institutions don't just go away. They change, mm-hmm, over time. So our government probably wouldn't go away. We would want there to still be some sort of semblance of order, but it would be incredibly different than government as we know it now. And the suggestion is that religious belief, a lot of the respondents here have said it wouldn't change too much, but you would have to now incorporate,
yeah,
the knowledge that you have with what you believe. And a lot of theological work would have to be done on that, because there's not much exists now. Can you go buy a book,
yeah,
from a, you know, a solid Christian publishing house? You know, how do I address the alien topic? And to a point that you raised earlier, what would almost certainly, not almost certainly, what certainly would happen is that some type of new religious thought would spring up,
mm-hmm,
either incorporating aliens or worshiping them.
Mm.
And you just have to deal with that as well. But yeah, it'd be a different world than the one that you knew before disclosure happened.
Yeah. Find us on... I was going to end the show then. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Send us mail, monsteropolismail@gmail.com, especially about this topic. We want to hear what everyone has to say about it. Any belief system or whatever you're thinking is on disclosure, send us an email, because maybe it'll give us a second episode about this topic. I'd like to hear more from listeners about what they think about it. Leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff as well. All right, thanks.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com, and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.